Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Nashville is Adam Balfour. Adam is Vice President and General Counsel for Corporate Compliance in Latin America for Bridgestone Americas Incorporated. And today we're going to be talking about handling intake on the helpline. First, Adam, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thanks, Adam. Really glad to speak with you.
Oh, glad to have you. Now, first, overall, what do you think the approach should be when it comes to intake on the helpline?
Well, Adam, I think it really comes down to this, and it's asking, who is the helpline really meant to help? Is this just the company's helpline as a way for the company to gather and learn information about potential issues? Or do we really want this to be something that is genuinely going to help our employees? And I think if we want to have a speak up culture, then the reporting process and the intake process with the helpline, it can't be so painful that someone's going to immediately regret speaking up and never report again. And so an example of that, I think recently I had in my personal life, you know, I ordered dinner online one night for my family, and it was almost comical how badly the restaurant messed up, right? Every single meal was just completely wrong. And so we had an issue. And then what we did, Adam, was we called the number on their website that they described as being customer support. And I have to say, it was not customer focused, nor did we find it particularly supportive. And so, you know, the customer support person, they followed their script. I didn't really feel like they were listening to us. They didn't seem to kind of care about the challenges that we were facing with young, hungry kids wanting their dinner. And also, they kept pushing an option, right? They wanted to give us a refund. And I'm like, that's not what I want to have happen, right? We just want to have food delivered to our house so we don't have to figure out an alternative for dinner. And so I think so many people probably have that frustrating customer support experience. But imagine if that's the experience you have when you're trying to speak up about something bad that happened to you at work. Maybe there's an issue with your manager or whatever it is at all. But I think that intake process, that is a moment, I think, of either building or destroying trust. And certainly speaking up, I think it's always the right thing to do, but it doesn't mean that it's an easy thing to do. And so I think we have to recognize that speaking up at times, it can be difficult. And we want to make sure that for the reporter, when that person is speaking up, that we hear them, we hear their story, and they feel heard. And their story is likely to involve both facts and also their experience and how they've been impacted. So I think if we're only looking for facts and asking questions about facts and what happened, we're not really listening to that person. They're not going to feel like the helpline is really designed to help them. And so I think it's, how do we make sure that the intake process really, it communicates to the person speaking up that it's there to help them and to really make sure that they're heard and not, frankly, just a source of information.
There's a lot of great points there. I mean, I think too often we tend to talk from our own perspective and don't realize it's a piece of communication. You have to think about how the listener's experiencing it. And I think you make a really great point in that we really need to think about what is it that they want? What is it that they are trying to do? Not just about what do we need to find out. And certainly you've made a really strong argument for an empathetic tone for whoever is taking the call. Now, some might think that would indicate to a caller that the person taking the report agrees with them. Is that a real risk? Is it something that can be managed?
I think it is a risk that can be managed in the right way. But I also think a lack of empathy, I think it brings another risk that I'm actually more concerned about. And I'll get to that in just a second. But I think emotions crave acknowledgement, right? Anytime, whether it's someone speaking up, whether it's a negotiation, whatever the situation is, if there's emotions are there, I think they have to be acknowledged. It can really, I think, be that, it can be that elephant in the room. And I think if you're trying to reach over or around the emotions to get information or to get facts about what happened, it's just not going to work, right? There's going to be that cloud. There's going to be filtering information through those really unacknowledged emotions. And I do think, you know, you can acknowledge how someone feels without agreeing with what the person's saying. So, you know, if someone's is speaking up, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say to the reporter, you know, I can't believe that happened, Adam. You know, that's a disgrace. Like we need to do something about that. Because I think if you do that, right, you're potentially agreeing with the person or you know, you're certainly coming across to the reporter as agreeing with the facts and what they're presenting. And I don't think you can do that in the intake process. That's what the investigation is for. But I do think what you can do in that situation is you could say, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it sounds like this was a really upsetting situation for you, and you feel that you were treated unfairly. Am I hearing you correctly, Adam, with what you've said? And I think in that situation, you know, you aren't saying that the person was treated unfairly or that the wrongdoing occurred, but I think you can just acknowledge their feelings and their description of what they said. And so I think, you know, that you can manage the risk associated with perhaps, you know, communicating to someone or implying that you're agreeing with them. But I think when you don't demonstrate empathy, I think the risks are actually bigger, because I think that you risk making the speak up process bad. And I think if that happens, that speaking up will go from being, you know, a culture to really just being that one time instantly regrettable, you know, event where trust is lost and people will not feel comfortable speaking up. They won't believe the helpline's there to help them.
And you certainly want them to believe that it is there to help them. And, you know, acknowledging someone else's feelings is important both as a human and also for encouraging them to speak more. Now, that leads into another question I have is, when a report is made, some information is obviously more important than others. How can you ensure that the right info is captured first? Because there's, you know, is always the risk a person is going to stop and hang up.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a risk, or maybe there's just a lot of information you've got to get from the person. And so, Adam, I know we wanted to have this conversation because it was one of my weekly integrity tips that I post, where, you know, I mentioned that too often hotlines will ask questions based on location, right? You know, which location do you work? You know, where does the alleged wrongdoer, where does that person work? And then where did this alleged event occur? And I have an issue with that, because I think that communicates to the reporter you care more about locations than the person and their story. And you probably do need that information at some point really to investigate the matters. But I don't think in most instances that is truly a top priority. And so I think if the helpline is to help the person speaking up as well as the company, we've got to think about the intake process and the information in terms of, I think, firstly, seeing and hearing the person, and then two, getting the information or facts that, you know, trigger them or cause them to speak up or seek help in the first place, really to determine, you know, what do we do from here? Do we conduct an investigation? How would we approach that? And so I do think, you know, that the multiple channels that people have to speak up, you know, if you were to bring a concern to me, Adam, you know, I'd probably start by asking you how you feel, or, you know, just checking in with you. Are you okay? Or are you upset? Because I'd want you to know that I'm listening, that I care, and I want to understand what's going on. And so I do know of at least one hotline provider that's really, I think, trying to develop their process around that, really checking in with the person. And then I think after that, you know, you can start asking about the event itself, what happened, who was involved, really the who, what, why, and where questions. But I want to know, you know, at first, are you afraid or are you angry? Because I think that will impact the way in which you present or perhaps even withhold information. So I do think it's an opportunity to, you know, for me to figure out, okay, what are the questions I need to ask about? And hopefully if the initial conversation goes well and we build trust rather than frankly just destroying trust, hopefully we can then have a conversation later on. I think that initial moment, it's really just to, it's almost to sketch out an outline, but we don't necessarily need to color in the complete picture. So I do think it is, you know, getting information about the person and kind of their experience, and then trying to get some facts, but hopefully you can come back to another conversation later.
Yeah, there's, you know, a tug of war that I see going on between the need to recognize what the person's feeling, to get out the key information, but also, you know, there are certain pieces of data you need to get. And, you know, you're right. What you had pointed out in that tip, I thought was very interesting, because while on the one hand, it's good, convenient, and valuable to have fields for the person taking the call to fill out, you don't want those fields to end up dominating the conversation and basically turn it into over the phone exercise in filling out a form. But how do you find the balance between the two?
Yeah, I think you do need to have some level of consistency, and that's where I do think having a script or an outline can help the process and also the person receiving the report. So I don't think a script is necessarily or inherently a bad thing, but I do think, when you conduct internal investigations, you have an outline for interviews, and I think the point of the interview is not just to get through the outline, but it's really to get information. And so I think it's the same for the intake process. I think the script, or maybe it's an outline, it should be a tool that supports the process of helping the reporter speak up. But I think if the intake process, if it becomes too much of a check the box activity, or if it's too rigidly followed, then I think the tool that was meant to support the purpose, that really becomes the purpose, and the reporter becomes secondary. So it definitely is a little bit of a balance between ensuring the person's heard, but then also ensuring there's some consistency as well.
Now, finally, one last question. When a company has an internal hotline, it obviously has complete control over it, but most companies these days use an outsourced provider. How can you work most effectively with the vendor to get the data you feel is most important for your particular organization?
I think it really comes down to, are we willing to have, I think, some very intentional and direct conversations with the hotline provider. And so I don't think it's just, are they the biggest player, or how many of the Fortune 500 companies do they work with, but really, what is it that we want the process and the experience to be like for our employees, and can that vendor, can they match that? And so I think part of that conversation, you need to understand, what is the hotline provider's intake process? Do they only see facts, or do they see the reporter as really being an important part of the intake process and want to listen to their experience? But then I think it's also understanding, how do they treat their employees, and incentivize them? Do they pressure people to get through, as many calls as fast as they possibly can? Or is it just that they want to have people have, spend the time needed really to receive an intake, conduct the intake process well? And then I think it's also, coming up with some reasonable metrics so you can measure and assess, how they're doing. And frankly, more importantly, what is the experience like for the reporter? So I do think it's just as an ongoing conversation that they're really just choosing the right hotline provider that will give your company, and I think also your employees, the desired speak up experience.
Well, like most things in compliance, it is a constant process of iteration and development to make things better. Well, Adam, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.